So our sermon picks up. It's the reading before the one that we heard from the elders. It's Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Now after they, the Magi, had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Thank you, God, for all the possibilities that lie ahead of us in 2024. So I'll say it again, Happy New Year, everyone. I hope it's a good year for all of us as individuals and as a church family. Sermon-wise, I have some series planned for 2024 that I think will be a lot of fun to share with you. Of course, during Women's History Month, we will look at women Bible characters. I'm calling them Daring Daughters. And I'm working on a set of sermons inspired by the Zia symbol that we see all over New Mexico. But today, indulge me with one more last look at the journey theme that took us through Advent. The journeys aren't over yet. God had one more journey in mind for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. After the Magi made their journey to visit and worship Jesus, as they were journeying back to the land of exotic mystery in the east, an angel came to Joseph and told him to take yet one more journey, to take Jesus and Mary and hurry to Egypt. King Herod, as we heard from the elders' scripture reading, was boiling mad because the Magi hadn't come back to the court to tell him where this new king was, as he specifically directed them to do. I suppose the Magi had every intention of reporting back to Herod since they were men of honor. They thought it was a reasonable request, but they didn't know how crazy Herod was. A divine sign told the Magi not to go back to Herod, and this dictum they decided to obey rather than Herod's. So they secretly headed home by another route without going back to Herod. So Herod took out his anger at being dissed on innocent children who were around the same age as Jesus. This tragic incident is called the Slaughter of the Innocents. It's horrific, but then again, Herod was ruthless like that. He had no qualms about killing other people's children because he had killed some of his own sons, as well as a couple of his wives. Herod would not be thwarted by disrespectful foreigners or made to lose face in front of his subjects. Historians say there were probably not a lot of children of that age, two and under, in the vicinity at that time, but any child slaughtered to appease Herod's madness was one child too many. The angel, knowing what Herod had planned to do, warned Joseph to leave for Egypt right away. Egypt was a Roman province only 60 miles away from Israel, and it was outside of Herod's jurisdiction, and so the Holy Family would be safe there. Herod would never look for them in Egypt because he had no authority there. It's heartwarming to think about Joseph and the angel. He was getting pretty used to angelic visitors and was well conditioned to obey them instantly. An angel had told him to marry Mary, that it was the good and godly thing to do and everything would be all right. And so he did, and so it was. Joseph knew he could trust angels to guide him in the right way to the right place. So when he woke up from this dream, he knew just what to do. He got up, gathered Jesus and Mary, and headed to Egypt. He didn't waste time arguing with the angel, asking perfectly good questions like, "Why should we go to Egypt, the land where our ancestors had been enslaved for so long? What will we do in Egypt? How long will we be there?" Joseph had learned to trust and not question. He knew everything would work out for them in Egypt. And looky here, the Magi had given them gold as a gift, and that would certainly help finance their journey to and their stay in Egypt. I'm just sad to realize that the angel didn't tell Joseph that other children would be victim of Herod's insanity. Couldn't he have given Joseph time to warn other parents and help save their children? After all, Jesus was sent to be a savior. His work could have started right then, protecting those innocent lives. But that's just speculation. The angel's focus was on getting Jesus out of harm's way immediately. One day, when all things are made new, those lost children will be restored. That's another reason why Jesus came, to heal, to restore, and to revive. In the meantime, we remember and mourn for those children and weep with our ancestress Rachel. Joseph and Mary and Jesus fled in the middle of the night in response to Joseph's dream. Long, long ago, another dreaming Joseph went to Egypt, not at the behest of an angel, but due to the scheming of his jealous brothers. Exiled and later wrongly accused and imprisoned, Joseph nevertheless flourished in Egypt, helping mitigate a disastrous famine and paving the way for his whole family to come join him. Still, after suffering in Egypt for 400 years and finally fleeing to freedom under the leadership of Moses, Egypt was probably not a place where most Israelites would ever want to return to. All those bad vibes and memories would be hard to deal with. But the second Joseph didn't bargain or make suggestions for other better places to go. He trusted again in God's plan to keep his family safe in Egypt and to bring them back when God decided it was time. God's timing is always right on. And it's not as if they would find themselves lost and forlorn, although technically in exile. It's not as though there were no other Israelites in Egypt at that time. On the contrary, there was a large colony of Israelites living in Egypt then, and that is probably where Joseph, Mary, and Jesus went. They were kind of hiding out in plain sight. They were blessed to find their community and the support and safety they needed for this part of their journey. Once Egypt had been plagued by darkness, now Egypt was the place where the light of God came to shine, albeit briefly. The former place of bondage became a place of refuge. It was a foreshadowing of how the Messiah would turn everything on end and enact amazing reversals, the meek inheriting the earth, the rich becoming poor, the lost getting found, the saddened being gladdened. Their sojourn in Egypt didn't last too long. Soon after his murderous mayhem in Bethlehem and beyond, Herod died in a suitably gruesome manner, and the angel appeared again to Joseph and told him it was time to bring Jesus back to Israel. The angel even told him exactly where to take him, to Galilee in Nazareth, to fulfill a prophecy that said he, the Messiah, will be called a Nazarene. Most people at that time looked down on Nazareth, calling it a backwater burg. Even one of Jesus' future disciples said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Nazareth was lowly and despised, and being called a Nazarene was a mark of public contempt and reproach. But Jesus changed that perception too. Jesus was called to redeem and restore and reconcile everything that had been deemed dismal and disorderly and disruptive. And after redeeming and restoring and reconciling Egypt, he redeemed and restored and reconciled Nazareth just by his holy presence there. Being called a Nazarene meant Jesus would be set apart and anointed to do a special work for God. He would have a special relationship with God. He would take on the burdens of God's people and prepare their hearts for God. Joseph set a wonderful example for us of being open to the leading of divine direction. He shows us how we too can be in tune with God's will and how we can trust that God will protect and guide us when we submit to following God's plan for our lives. So early in his life, Jesus knew about threats of violence. He knew what it was like to flee for your life, to leave home and country in search of safety, to go to an unknown land in hopes of a welcome instead of being rejected and deported. Jesus stands with all those who are fleeing their homelands even now, even today, even in the very land that gave birth to him. For Matthew, this journey to Egypt and back was a fulfillment of another Old Testament prophecy. It was an echoing of God's demand of Pharaoh, where God said, "Let my son go, that he may serve me." It was an echoing of where God said through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." Out of a land of bondage and ostracism, Jesus has come home. Out of a land of hiding and tension and uncertainty, Jesus has come home. Out of a land of a dark past and infamy, Jesus has come home. Thus ends the Advent journey, but the journey of faith continues. Jesus has come to make everything new. He has come to heal past hurts and old wounds. He has come to accompany all of us on our own journeys. God is with us, Emmanuel, in Bethlehem and in Egypt and in Nazareth and anywhere we go. And here's a heads up. You know, every year I pick a word for the year, a word for us to focus on. I wasn't going to do that this year because at first the Holy Spirit didn't give me a word, but just a few weeks ago I got the word. I'll reveal it to you next week, so be ready. Let's pray. God, this year may your angels guide us as they guided Joseph and Mary and Jesus to the right place where you want us to go. We open ourselves like Joseph to your divine direction. We are listening and we are willing to take the adventure you offer to us. Be with us, Lord God, now and forevermore. Amen.